Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Everybody puts their game faces on when they see the countdown start. It's always funny to watch. Okay.
Get on the floor!
What's up, people? This is You're Not Listening, the podcast that teaches you how to actively listen to music one song at a time. I'm Sean O'Loughlin.
I am Jim O'Loughlin. I am the dad of Sean.
And this is our 2024 St. Patrick's Day special. You guys weren't ready for that, were you?
It's a slightly different genre to what we're used to playing.
Yes.
That audio clip in the very beginning was actually my coworker who, I don't know why he said that, but I somehow got a recording of him saying that. And I was like, I'm going to use that for something. And so it's been in the intro.
Like, not him.
No,
it's not him.
It's very much
You don't expect him to say anything like that. Yeah.
But right. Anyway, so this is our 2024 St. Patrick's Day episode. And we have some special guests on today. We have Mark Thomas and Liam from the Kings of Connacht. And they are a band that we got to see when we went to Ireland. We've told kind of some of our stories from our trip to Ireland in the last few episodes. But Dad, you want to give a little catch up to how we got connected with these guys, and then we'll get into our conversation. We'll hear from who you are in a minute.
When we were lucky enough to go to Ireland, thank you, Sean, for pulling that whole thing together. We were in Dublin, and actually, there's a question I want to ask the guys too at some point. But we were in Dublin. We went to some pubs expecting some Irish music, and we were looking at some really traditional Irish, because hence this podcast, how much we really love and listen to music in a little different way. And all we heard in some of the pubs in Temple Bar and all that was like Johnny Cash and John Denver. It's like, what are we doing?
It was here? John Denver they were playing John Denver in like three different bars that we went to.
Yes. Yeah. Which we don't play John Denver in the States. It's just not, you don't do it. So we rented a car and we drove west. And we ended up in a few different spots, but we spent a couple days in Galway before we had to fly back out. And as was recommended by Samantha, Sean's wife, we went to this place called King's Head, which was one of the pubs right in the main downtown. She spent a semester abroad, Sean, in Ireland, and said that was her favorite place to go. And I'm sure when she wasn't in church and everything else, she probably didn't go there too often. But right. So we went in and we were there during the day. So we walked around and did the tourist thing, and we went to a couple different pubs. But one of the things that happened to us at the bar was the bartender said, "You've got to come back tonight. We've got this band of these guys coming in, and they're so good." Because we talked to them a little about, we want some traditional music. And they hyped you guys up big time. So we went and did our things. I think we actually went back to the hotel where we were staying, changed, and came back to King's Head and stayed all night, listened to you guys. And
if I remember correctly, they said that you guys playing music there, that was the only way that you were allowed to go into the bar.
Because we were really young at the time. We were probably 17. You need to be 18 to go to the pubs in Ireland.
What year was that, Sean?
2017.
We wouldn't be too far away from it.
Yeah. If it wasn't true, it was at least the joke that they made.
Right. Which was wonderfully surprising to us too, that these young guys were out there playing very traditional music, which is, again, one of the things we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, we'll have to post something. I think we have some video from that night. We'll have to post it.
Oh, really?
So you guys can see.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Oh, great. Yeah. Well, that's one of the one of the secrets of our success is, you know, when we're playing in any pubs, we will pay the bar staff to tell everyone that you need to come back and hear these guys, just to create a bit of hype.
Yeah.
Well, it works.
Good job. It works. And then while he's doing that, he can just keep hitting refresh on that video too while they're doing that to make sure you get the 10 million views and all too. So.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, fast forward, you know, social media, I've been following, these guys ever since. And, you know, we were always listening to traditional Irish music in a lot of different ways, but, just had the opportunity to have them come on, and we want to share that they're going to be coming back to the States. And a little bit about that. And we want to help promote that as well. So it's a 2-for-1 where we're going to celebrate music the way that we want to, in the way with some of the bands that we like, but also we want to try to help them as much as possible. If we can kind of get some more people come on out and see their shows in the Boston and New York area.
Yeah.
Is that right, Sean?
Yeah, for sure. So let's give you guys the floor. I don't know how you want to do this. If you want to kind of each introduce yourselves, or if you want to just talk as a group, if you want to harmonize in unison to tell your story, whatever you guys want to do. But why don't we start with Liam? Liam was the one that we were corresponding with in the beginning. So Liam, why don't we start with you? Kind of give your quick background, and then we can talk to everyone else, and then we can get the whole story of the whole group.
Yeah. So I'm one of the founding members of the Kings of Connacht. We started up in 2012. We all grew up relatively closely in County Galway, the west of Ireland. And as we were just talking about, we started at a very young age, started playing in pubs before we were probably allowed to play in pubs. And from there, we went on playing all over Ireland, the UK, and more recently the US. And yeah, we had great fun along the way. And we also have Mark here. Mark, do you want to introduce yourself?
That is me, Mark, also a member of the band. Yeah, the three of us formed the band together when we were back in secondary school or high school. We were about halfway through school, 15 years of age or so. And we all kind of had a common interest in Irish folk music. We were just kind of introduced to the Dubliners a couple of years earlier and, you know, listening to the songs. And like, there wasn't many of us into that sort of music at our age, you know. People tend to be kind of into what's in the charts or John Denver, as you guys were talking about earlier.
yeah,
barely ever goes. Actually, on that, that's kind of an interesting thing. When you were talking about that, it made me think that there's kind of like, so you guys were saying that the guys are just telling us about a story that they went to Temple Bar and that everyone was playing John Denver music. So there's kind of like, I'm starting to notice there's like a genre of Irish American music, like songs like Danny Boy and Molly Malone. They're huge in the States, but we don't tend to really play them much back here. So it's kind of like there's, you know, we've like exported our music and nearly forgotten about some of the songs here, but they're super popular elsewhere. So it's kind of a cool thing.
If you go to almost any bar around St. Patrick's Day around here, like those are the songs that you'll hear.
Mm. Yeah, but anyways,
what I was going to say, Mark, is we had a couple of years ago, a gentleman, his name was Josh O'Loughlin, the same namesake as us, that we met when Sean and I were on that trip, and we had him on the, did we have him on twice, Sean, or just the once? A couple times, maybe? I don't remember.
No, I think we just had him on the once. But we've kept in pretty good contact with him, so we talked to him fairly regularly.
He really educated us to the what he called the plastic patty kind of music and genre of stuff. And I think that might be what you sometimes would say, like, okay, yeah, we don't play Yeah, but you're being polite. I don't have to be, you know. But
yeah. But it's an interesting thing that happens.
Mark, I'm sorry I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, it's an interesting thing that happens. Just when you were saying that, it kind of made me think of the opposite way around it happening. Yeah. So we formed the band during school, and we kind of started doing some gigs, like wherever would take us, really, just the local pubs. And we played at a couple of communion parties and things like that. And it just kind of took off from there. We started, you know, breaking into then like our local city where you guys would have seen us. And we kind of started doing our own shows. Like we held a couple of concerts and like, you know, we were like, oh, people are actually willing to give, you know, £5 or whatever to see us. This is amazing stuff. So then we said we better try and record some stuff. And we've had a bit of success with that. And we've all had other ventures in the meantime. You know, we've all been starting careers, so this is kind of like a a part-time thing for us, but we're like really enjoying the journey, and we're kind of on the go about 11 years now, guys, I think. 11 years or so.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, so we just made our US debut last year, and we're really looking forward to going back very soon. So we'll be around your neck of the woods, just south of where you guys are. So yeah, really looking forward to it. We loved Boston. Boston was great. New York as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Thomas, what's your story?
Yeah, I'm keeping quiet over here because I don't
yeah,
really have
much of a
story.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're being kind of
quiet. I'm trying to make up a story to tell here.
I don't really have one. CEO.
Yes, that's normally how it is in those big companies. The CEO is at the top and they don't do very much. myself and Liam would have gone to school together. Yeah, we would have learned the tin whistle together. So that would have been the first instrument that we both learned how to play. I suppose we were taught by a man called Matt Cunningham. And Matt used to travel around to all of the schools in the area. And he would call every Thursday and he'd bring a bag of tunes with him, literally. Like he'd have a bag and he'd have the sheet music for all these different tunes. And you'd have a week to learn it. And sometimes it took a lot more than a week for us to actually learn it. but yeah, that was really how it began for me, you know, learning the tin whistle in school. And then I think Liam was the first to pick up a guitar, and then I saw him play that and I said, all right, that's pretty cool. I want to do that too.
I think the guitar that you yeah, seen me playing was
as
one,
Mark
one,
said,
it one
just,
with only three strings on it.
Sure, look at
my first guitar.
Still did the job. But yeah, look, it kind of grew from there. I mean, never really set out to become a musician, you know. It's crazy how these things just happen, you know.
Yeah, for sure. So, Dad, I'll hand it off to you for now because I know you had some things that yep. you wanted to touch on.
No, and it's funny that, as you just said, Thomas, you never expected to become a musician, but I think your talent of the band says otherwise. And one of the things that really impressed Sean and I, and again, and no pressure with this, but sometimes in your audience, there are goofy people like us that are not just there, to raise a pint and get drunk and wear stupid hats on our head and all that, but it's more about like, oh, let's look at the music and let's learn from what they're playing and appreciate it kind of on a different level. And that's, I mean, I don't want to sound, you know, snobby about it that way, because we try not to do that, but it's just we truly appreciated the talent. I just remember Sean and I just looking at each other saying, these guys, like, what are they, 17, 18? And look at how good they are and how strong they are. And that is one of the questions of, you know, I mean, yeah, you started when you're 15. You said you've been doing this for 11 years. Like, oh, you're grizzled veterans now, but what are you all your early 20s right now? Because you don't sound it. You sound like you're like 60 years old playing in pubs your whole life, and you have this deep sound.
You don't sound like
and
you're 60
this
years
really
old.
Well, no but it doesn't sound like post teens singing traditional folk music from Ireland, you know, if you didn't know that, you know. To
it's
me
a great
to
compliment
me.
To get,
I mean, obviously,
Jim.
Look at these three handsome guys up there. What's that?
That's a great compliment to get. It actually is, because I remember when yes. we were singing before in a session, like kind of an acoustic session, and we were quite young at the time, and I think we were singing Raglan Road, and this lady said to us, like, and she meant it as a pure compliment, "You sound like you're 50 years old, lads." We were like, thanks so much. Because it kind of has that.
But how does that happen? Again, maybe this comes back to the origin of the band, but how does that happen that, I mean, you met it when you're in school and you're what, 14 or 15, Liam, or so?
Yeah.
But, and how did you not get caught up in what's on the charts, as Mark had put it? But like, let's play some more traditional music. Were you just looking for a different niche, or did you have different interests just from the start?
Yeah, I suppose it was something that we grew up around. Like our parents would have been listening to that type of music. There's a big like pub session culture in Ireland. You have all of these music sessions in your local pub, and you can go and you can eat. They'll bring in young and old, can come and sing a song, I suppose that's how where it all started, really. And it's a nice tradition in Ireland.
And yet, when you started that, there weren't a lot of artists doing that of your age, but it seems to be very, very popular now. you know, not the sit-in for the sessions meet. We did that, you know, at a lot of different bars. We went to Doolin and sat in a couple of different places, and we were watching, and people showed up, like you said, young and old, and it was great. But it, but when you started doing that on your own and playing out and doing some of the communion shows and all that, there weren't a lot of bands your age doing those things, correct? Versus now, there's, I think there's a
doing
lot more.
Doing those kind of things, I suppose, helped us to learn some songs. Once we learned songs, then we started getting asked to do gigs. And I suppose once we'd done our first gig, which was, as Mark said, at Communion back in 2012, that was our first paid gig. And once we started getting, you know, paid to do something like this, we're like, oh, wow, we could make money out of this. It's crazy. And we started getting asked to play in pubs, and you know, it turned out after a year, we were so busy playing every Friday night, every Saturday night when we were only kids. So it was great. We loved it, and it was good to get out of the house. It was a great social aspect to it.
Keeps you out of trouble.
I don't know,
or got you in.
There's still plenty. There's still plenty of trouble too. Don't worry.
Now, is pubs the ultimate goal, that, you know, to have a band play on a regular basis in a pub? Is that is the ultimate goal to obviously play, you know, obviously huge shows and all that? But it doesn't seem like you're heading, you're desiring to head in those directions. You want more of the local aspect, or?
Yeah, well, at that age, I suppose the pubs were the only place where they would have a young band like us. But obviously, then once we started playing in pubs for a while, we were like, we got offers to play at some bigger venues, and as Mark said, getting paid, or people paying a fiver a ticket to see us, and that was when we started playing bigger shows and stuff. And
started playing in bigger pubs then, you know.
Yeah, I think just to talk about the King's Head pub there that you mentioned, that's where you saw us first. That was probably one of our favorite venues to play around Galway, because there was always such an intimate crowd there, appreciative crowd as well. And the way that the pub is laid out has a stage, it has its own sound engineer, and it's kind of seated around the stage. So it always felt like it was more of a show than a gig, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think we were upstairs. Looking down on you guys, actually.
Sure.
If I remember correctly. Yeah. So,
I forgot about that.
Do you want me to play a little bit? I have a couple of your songs here so our audience can kind of hear what you guys sound like. We'll play a little bit and then we'll continue the conversation. How's that sound, Dad?
Sounds good.
All right. Let me see.
While in the merry month of May, not from me home I started, left the girls a tune and nearly broken heart, saluted father dear, kissed me darling mother, drank a pint of beer, me grief and tears, I smothered enough to reap the corn, leave where I was born, caught a stout black tar to banish ghosts and goblins, brand new pair of brogues to rock the love of the bogs, frighten all the dogs on the rocky road to Dublin, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hunt the hare and turn her down the rocky road and all the ways to Dublin, whack for lolly rock. In Mullingar that night, I rested limbs so weary, started by daylight, this morning bright, and nearly took a drop of the pure.
So who was that that started us off?
That was me singing that song, The Rocky Road to Dublin.
You want to give us a little taste of it? I'm just kidding. So this is the one that's really getting your guys' name out there right now, right? Liam, talk about that. I know we want to push more people to that video, right?
It's
not doing very well, so we need a few more.
Yeah, we recorded that song back in 2016. It was probably our first, music video that we recorded. And we recorded in an old ruins of a castle in County Galway. And it used to be occupied by Kings of Connacht. So it's a pretty cool video. It's a 19th century song written by D.K. Gavin, who is also known as the Irish poet. And it tells a story, if you listen to the lyrics, it tells a story about a man who sets off on his journey to seek his fortune in the UK. And he starts in Tuam, County Galway, which is very close to where we live. And he has many encounters along the way in Mullingar in Dublin. But yeah, it's a very interesting song.
It is a great song. I've always loved
that
one.
Stop. 2016. So you're how old when you're singing this or performing this?
Oh, don't make me do maths.
Probably.
Come on now. 18,
19.
Probably. 17 or 18.
Yeah. 18, 19.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'm a substitute teacher.
You guys are really 40.
I'm a substitute teacher, and the 17 and 18 year old kids at my school, there's no way. There's no way.
You don't know about the rocky road
to
Dublin.
That's so good.
Yeah. I think Liam was actually born with a beard as well.
Oh, that was almost a dad joke, Tom. Good.
Almost. Expecting one. We're getting there.
No, it's such a great song for great sound. And again, from the people who know a little bit about Irish music or traditional folk music, we've heard that. Everybody's heard that. You know, it's such a great song. But with your voices on it, it doesn't sound like 17, 18, 19. And it shouldn't. And again, I guess that's more the compliment, like you said, Mark. But it sounds so deep and so rich. It's such a nice sound.
Yeah, we'd get all sorts of, like, you know, occasionally it's good fun to look through the YouTube comments. And Tom, you had a few kind of learned off at one stage with some very funny YouTube comments. It's like, I listened to this song and I want to punch my neighbor or something like this. It's like inciting tribal violence, and but in a good way.
Yeah, I think the number one uprated comment was, grow a beard, drink a pint. What does that even mean?
Okay.
Yeah. So you'll know once you are old enough.
Yes, you just have to listen to it and then you'll get it. Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Jesus. Unbelievable.
So we heard you guys singing, we heard your harmonies, and we heard a little bit of the instrumentation. Can you guys go through and talk about which instruments you play? I know when we saw you, you guys were playing a bunch of different things and you would kind of swap off a little bit sometimes. And I think Liam mentioned that maybe you don't do that quite as much. So kind of what are your roles if you were to approach a new song that you wanted to play, like kind of what role would each of you take as you develop that?
Yeah. So we're kind of recording at the moment. And like usually what you would do is you'd kind of, you know, work with a click track and you'd usually put down a guitar first. So I play the guitar, although we all play the guitar. I typically play the guitar most, I would say. Tom sometimes rings the guitar. I know Liam plays the guitar for his own gigs as well. Kind of, we all kind of do some stuff solo or separately as well. But I usually play the guitar, and Liam, you play the banjo.
Yep.
Liam plays the banjo, and Tom is our whistle man. But Tom has been known to play everything and anything as well.
Yeah. Well. Turn my hand to anything, but not very good at anything.
Like when you seen us in the King's Head, what we used to do is we used to bring all the instruments we could find, and we'd lay them up around the stage, and then we'd all just take turns playing them for every song. We'd have to change our instruments between every song. So.
Right? Yeah, like to keep the audience guessing.
Yeah, I love that though. I remember, so one of the best concerts I ever went to was, I was in college and I saw the John Butler Trio, and they did that. They were swapping after every song he'd get a different instrument. I think he only played like two songs with the same instrument throughout the whole show, and for some reason that stood out to me so much. I was like, that is so wild that he's just like changing every, and it wasn't like, oh, this guitar is probably in a different tuning, so I'm swapping it. It was like every type of stringed instrument and percussion instrument you could think of, he was swapping out. And like, I love that. It's really cool when a band does that, to see how versatile the musicians are. It's pretty wild. You guys should go back to
that. I feel like it's something that you don't see that much anymore. Mm. Or, you know, I don't think I've gone to any concert and I've seen musicians swapping and changing instruments.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, I was at a few gigs where you would see it, and it's cool because you'd see this kind of, like this harmonium left on top of a piano or something. You're like, oh, I wonder when he's going to play that or something.
Yeah, you know, it'll be left there. I'm like, ready for that prop to come out.
Yeah. So it's a nice touch for sure.
It also makes it very easy for the sound engineer that's doing the gig when you change around instruments as much as possible.
Yeah. I'm sure they love that. Yeah.
They do,
yeah. Yeah, and they must love
they
you.
They especially love when you pull out the leads, like, you know, without giving them a warning.
Yeah.
Right. Without turning it down.
Yes, exactly.
So here's a question I like to ask every band, because it's usually never one that other people might ask you to do when they're asking for songs. What's your favorite song to perform for whatever reason, whether it's the instrumentation, whether it's the memories, whether it's just the sound or the venue or what?
I suppose individually or as a group?
Yes, both, either.
For me, I really like to play The Lonesome Boatman. It's a great piece by Fimbre Fury, I think written in 1969. originally for the 5-string banjo, and then he decided he wanted to make it better, so he played it on the whistle, the better instrument.
Ah,
yes.
I won't start this competition again.
Yeah, look, no, for me, it's a really soulful piece, and you can kind of put a lot of emotion into it when you're playing. It always seems to kind of captivate the crowd.
Nice.
It changes all the time, but you know, it's always fun to learn new songs, and then that new song can become your favorite song for a while as you're kind of grappling with arrangements. Like for a long time, I always liked to sing Raglan Road, which was Luke Kelly had the definitive version of it. It was written as a poem a long time ago, and it's a lovely song. But more recently, we've had a lot of fun with singing some songs that we've kind of put arrangements to that we're recording. The Banks of the Roses, I'm enjoying singing that at the moment. It's kind of an old traditional song, and we've kind of put a lively arrangement to it where we've kind of fit a tune in the middle, a jig, and that's a lot of fun. So yeah, it kind of changes all the time, but like I would say Raglan Road is one that I've always enjoyed singing, and it's probably the song that kind of put me onto this music in the first place. It was kind of like the first time.
Really?
Yeah, when I was about 12 years old, I remember hearing that song, and you know, I hadn't heard anything like it before, and I thought that was kind of like uncharted territory for me. So it's kind of stuck with me. I don't really sing it that often anymore, actually, now that I think of it, but it's always going to be there as one of the more important ones.
Yep. Get it on that set list. Let's go.
For me, I think, similar to Mark, mine changes all the time. But the longest standing one would probably be The Old Triangle, which is one we put down the instruments, and sometimes Mark or Thomas might get some sort of a nice drone going in the background. And we would all, I would sing the song, everyone else would come in the chorus, and we'd get some good harmonies going. And it seems to be one that the whole audience would quieten down and listen to. So it's I like that.
Starting to sound very ritualistic.
I'd like the pyre and bring the goat in.
I really like that song. It's brilliant. It's one that can be sung with emotion and stuff as well. It's nice.
And that was also, I imagine the crowd would also join in.
Yeah, for sure. And especially in the chorus. It's great.
Yeah. Right, you ready? Let's hear it. Go ahead.
You should all join in the chorus, though, okay?
get the goats involved as well.
Yeah, we'll get the goats. Sean, go get your goats in the back.
Could they do a high harmony, yeah?
What's your favorite song to play together, guys?
What's that?
What's our favorite song to play together as a group?
I quite like The Rocky Road to Dublin. You know, it's kind of deemed our song at this stage. You know, it's the song that we're best known for. And I guess when people come to see us, they probably, you know, they expect that we're going to play it.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So, you know, when we announce that we are going to play it, it always gets great reception, you know.
Mm. We did a festival two years ago in the Netherlands, and I think we forgot to play it. We were on a strict 45 minute set, and like we had our set done out, and you know, we thought it was, so you know, it looks like good set list, and like the show went really well, and we kind of got lost in the music and forgot that, you know, we were supposed to finish, and we looked behind us, those guys beckoning us to get off the stage immediately, and then a couple of guys in the front had clearly come to see us to you know, for us to sing our hit song, and we didn't get to sing it. We forgot to sing it. So we'll remember to include it.
That's actually pretty funny. So I want to hear some more fun stories like that from the road, but I also want to talk about your guys' trip over here to our side of the pond over here.
Yes.
Give our audience a rundown for what's coming, and we're going to try to get this episode out a little earlier than normal. Usually we release these episodes right like the day of or the day before St. Patrick's Day, but we're going to try to get it out a little bit earlier this year, which is why we're recording in February, barely. And we want to try and promote this because we have listeners here in our immediate area that would probably enjoy coming out to see you guys. So give us the rundown of what you guys are doing, when you're coming, and where you're playing.
Nice. Yeah. Well, I can run through these. We're flying over and on March the we're flying over just before Paddy's weekend. Our first gig is in the Burn in Somerville, which is a really nice venue. Have you ever been there, guys?
Mm-hmm. I have.
No, I have not. Have you been, Nishan? Yeah.
It's really nice. But we're playing there on the 14th of March, which is the Thursday of St. Patrick's weekend. And the gig starts at 7 p.m. and tickets are available on the Burns website. The day after, we're actually playing again in Somerville, but for a different event. The event is the Dan Kelly Foundation. It's also in Somerville, and tickets are always are also available on their website. Then we're heading down to Stamford, Connecticut. We're playing there on the 16th of March, which is the day before St. Patrick's Day. And that gig starts at 5 p.m. Before we head down to New York. And we're playing in Mineola, New York on St. Patrick's Day at 3 p.m., doing an early slot there. And then we head up to Yonkers and we play in Rory Dolan's at 9 p.m. on St. Patrick's night. So, yeah, we've got a busy, really, really busy few days.
Couldn't have said it better, Liam.
But what I can do is I can send you guys a link to our website as well, which you'll get a full list and there's tickets for each of them. And but we're really looking forward to going over. We love playing for the Americans.
Yeah, well, so we love having you.
The question that I would have is, I mean, obviously it's one of the biggest times for Irish music, but you're in the U.S., not Ireland for that. Is there a bigger market here? Is a deal you couldn't turn down? It was so successful last time you wanted to come back. I mean, how did that all come about?
Yeah, look, we always loved playing for the American audience. Always found that they were very appreciative and just, you know, very nice people. And definitely there is a big market, I suppose, between Americans and Irish Americans, especially in the likes of Boston and New York. So when we were offered to go there for St. Patrick's Day, yeah, we definitely couldn't turn that down. So
I think it's kind of like it's kind of a maybe a longer season as well, you know, around the days, because in Ireland it's kind of just St. Patrick's Day, so whereas in America there seems to be kind of stuff going on around it, like there's a lot of parades the day before.
Yes.
So it's, you know, kind of a longer season. Whereas if we were back home, we might just do one or two gigs. You know, you can get a good few gigs in. Yeah, and it's a huge celebration. Nice. In America. Like, huge celebration. I know the rivers green in Chicago, don't they? Is that Chicago?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So what better place to be?
So it's like just another normal night in Ireland on the 17th, a little crazier, and then the 18th, it's over. Done.
More or less.
Yeah, it kind of is
well,
over.
I guess it
is over.
Yeah. It kind of depends on how it falls as well, you know, if it's if it falls on a Saturday, we'll say, or Sunday, you get the following Monday off work, and you know, then the Sunday, so we'll say St. Patrick's Day is on a Saturday, then everybody can go out on the Saturday night and also again on the Sunday night, because there's no work on Monday. So, you know, you can get very lucky with how it falls, and you can get a few nights out of it, or just the one night, you know.
Yeah. Well, in America, we tend to just roll from one holiday to another. So it'll be like second Halloween is over, it's Thanksgiving. The second Thanksgiving is over, it's Christmas. And Christmas lasts from, you know, the end of November until New Year. And then you just, so like as soon as March hits, it's basically St. Patrick's Day for the next, you know, 15
yes.
to 20 days.
Nice.
Which we're happy about. We like that. That's
sure.
Yeah, for sure. Dad, do we have any plans for St. Patrick's Day this year to go see some music? I don't know if we have any plans yet.
I don't think we have anything in place yet.
I think we've got a few.
We're looking at Tupelo to go see Glengarry Boys.
Yeah, we might need to come down to Somerville for sure.
Yeah.
We'll have to see.
Somerville would be great.
But
one,
what else, Dad? What, is there anything else that you want to get into?
I just wanted to throw a couple songs out there that I think it's a little hazy from 2017, but I think that you guys played that night that I hadn't heard before, and you kind of turned me onto it. Clare, now is possible, let me just go through a few songs. Clare Island, is that one that you have performed on a regular Saw Doctors?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. Saw Doctor is a great band, yeah. From
love that. Boston Rose.
Yeah. Another great one.
Yeah, definitely.
All Triangle, you already mentioned. Fields of Athenry and or Parting Glass, or are those too Americanized, so you don't do those kind of
things? No, we do the Fields of Athenry. The Fields of Athenry is great. It's Ireland's one of Ireland's national anthems.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And Parting Glass, you said, is a big hit in the US as well.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, play it when you're over here.
Yeah,
at the end of the night.
Yeah, we must. Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of guys close out shows with that around here.
So. Wow.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, especially if they forget their main tune, you know, when they're ending the set at the Rocky Road to Dublin.
So we'll start with the Parting Glass.
and you play literally all over the country, including Northern Ireland?
We have done a couple of times, yeah.
Is there a distinct difference in playing in Northern Ireland versus, you know, I don't want you to get into politics or anything like that. I don't want to put that spin on things, but is it a different vibe or a different feel playing there? And
I suppose some places where you go, like including in the South as well, you'd like some places people are asking for more kind of rebel songs. But we didn't necessarily notice more so in the North, but certain areas or even certain, you know, certain pubs even, people would be expecting you to play more kind of rebel songs. You know, that wasn't really
what are some
our
of
thing.
Those songs?
Like, you know, a lot of the Wolftones catalog and some of the more
Sean South and
Sean South and like Comanche Black and Tans and all those sort of songs. You know, it's not really kind of what we aim to portray, but you know, we sing a few of them sometimes, but we're more like.
Do you get asked for specific songs? I'm sorry, Mark. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's kind of not. We're like we're not really invested in the politics of the songs as much as to just kind of promote the tradition. Really, that's kind of what we're interested in doing, and we like to just keep the songs alive. So you know, we don't really exactly shy away from any of the rebel songs. There's plenty of very old rebel songs that we sing. But we don't really go into the kind of hard, the more kind of modern ones as much. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys ever...
And I imagine there
are... You're right.
No, I was just going to say, I imagine there are groups of bands that do that, that's like specialize in
that.
Oh
yeah. Yeah. It's a huge thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Like be lots of bands that they're rebel bands and it's kind of rebel songs all night. Yeah. And there's a big market for it too. Yeah, yeah. And not necessarily even just in the North either, I would say. Like, it's a huge thing in certain areas of the South as well. Yeah, yeah. So it's a big thing, yeah. And, like, even, like, we were doing a radio interview on a show there in Boston. I don't think we were even aware that it was. It's called the Rebel Rooster Show. We didn't even really know that it was a rebel station. But so, obviously, there's a market for it over in the US as well. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever
Sean, I'm sorry I stepped on you. Go ahead.
That's all right. I think I have a lag for someone. Do you guys ever go in and join just sessions anymore, or is that not kind of
we would occasionally. Do, all right. Yeah, I mean, like we've kind of started in the last couple of years having just a purely acoustic music session in our local pub. You know, the 27th or 28th of December, depending on how the days fall and stuff. But we've done that for the last couple of years, and I suppose it's just to kind of take a step back away from all the equipment and, you know, all the stuff that goes along with it, and just strip it back to the music and just have a bit of fun, really. And that's kind of open for anybody to join in. Like, you know, there's lots of young musicians and older musicians as well around our locality that like to come that night, and you know, everybody gets a turn, kind of thing.
Awesome.
Yeah, because that's how
the name of the local pub?
We had it in
so myself and Liam are from an area called Myla, and the local pub there is Cheever's Pub, and I suppose Mark is from the next village over, So his village would be Menla, and his pub is Thompson's. Is that right?
Yeah. So it was kind of like our way of, you know, we would have started playing in those sort of sessions. So we kind of wanted to start one up ourselves, even if it's just once a year, just to give the kind of younger people, because, you know, we're 50 years old now and 60. So give the younger people of the area a chance to just give them an outlet to sing, because that's what we would have got when we were 15. So it was really nice, you know, just the Christmas just gone. There was some guys that were singing, and like, I was thinking to myself, you know, that was us 10 or 11 years ago. So now we're giving them the platform to sing to, you know, all the local people. And it was quite nice. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we're getting a little close to time, but I wanted to see if there's anything else that you guys wanted to say. And like I said, we want musicians to be able to have a conversation about music. So I want to kind of end this off with just really super broad, open questions. So feel free to answer it however you want to. But just what is it about music that you love, whether it's playing music or listening to music? Just like, what is it that draws you to it, and why do you love it so much?
Yeah, for me, I just like how it brings people together, you know, like as we were talking just there about the sessions, so anybody can just sit in. And, you know, we've made some great friends over the years just purely through the music. So yeah, it's just, you know, the sense of kind of community that you get from it, and the bringing of people together. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, it's very visceral thing. Like you feel stuff from music. It's like they call it the universal language. So it's just like, as Tom said, it does bring people together. Like, we've made so many friends from music, and it can be quite surprising as well, you know, the sort of people that you can meet from all different walks of life. And music is kind of the thing that brings people together. You know, you might not have much else in common, but if you've music in common, you can make a really good friend from that then.
Yeah, I suppose similarly for me, I love the social aspect of it. I do like I like that whole session buzz and going to meet new people, learning new songs from other people. I love the way that every musician can interpret a song differently. And I love the learning challenge as well, learning new songs, as well as learning new instruments. I do love picking up an instrument I haven't played before and giving it a go, and trying to learn my songs on that. So that's nice.
Awesome. Well, do you guys have anything else that you want to get out there or promote, or anything you specifically wanted to talk about before we wrap up?
I suppose not. It'd be nice if anyone's interested in hearing more about us, it just head over to our social media. I suppose we would probably be probably use Facebook and Instagram the most, and our handle is at the Kings of Connacht. So it's, and Connacht is spelled Connaught. Actually, the last time we were in the States, we done a gig in Rockwood Music Hall in New York, and we brought along a videographer, and we recorded our sound through the mixer. And since Christmas, we've been releasing a new song every week from that gig.
Oh, cool.
So we've been uploading that to YouTube and stuff. So we'll have a new one actually coming out. Yeah, we usually do it on the Fridays.
Fantastic. So
I've got a few of those 1,000 views.
Yeah, we'll make sure we link to all that stuff. Cool. We'll link to your social media and your YouTube page and everything too. Mark or Thomas, is there anything else that you guys want to get out there?
Yeah, just wanted to say, yeah, we're really looking forward to being back in the States, and we have plans to be there later in the summer again also. So, you know, if you can't make it, or if our fans can't make it to any of the gigs, we're going to be back again, unless someone decides that these guys are never allowed back into this country again.
we have the perfect venue for you guys right here near where I live. It's called Tupelo Music Hall, and they love having Celtic music in, so you guys should look into it. I can send you the info.
Oh, great.
Maybe you can get in contact with them. It would be the perfect size for you guys too.
Yeah,
and definitely. You'd be close those to me, so I wouldn't have to travel.
And we can all stay in your couch as well.
Yeah, for sure. We'll get you a home cooked meal.
Yes,
sounds good.
Mark, anything else you want to say before we wrap up?
Well, just like the guys said, you know, we're really looking forward to coming over in the next couple of weeks. It's really fast approaching. And we're in the process of recording some stuff as well. So we're hoping to have an album out whenever that may be. We're not putting any time constraints on ourselves because we just want to get it out whenever it gets out. And yeah, like thanks for having us, guys. Like, I really like what you're doing with the podcast, and it's a really good format. And you know, it's really it was great to talk to you today.
It was great to have you guys too. I'd love it if one of you guys or all of you guys would give us our closing statement that we have for every episode.
Wait, before you do that, Sean, we have one other unfinished business.
We do.
Oh, he knows, no.
I know. What
yeah, this he is. Knows what we need. Okay, Thomas, let's go dad joke. Because you got two dads here, so we are always doing dad jokes. So it's your turn.
Okay, so the one that I picked up recently that I really like to tell, it's not music related, but people are usually shocked to find out I am not a good electrician.
No.
Or the other one is, I've started a boat building business in my attic and sails are through the roof.
All right.
That's good.
I would lead with
he's
that varsity, one.
He's varsity, Dad. Varsity.
Yes, he's pro. Yeah,
nicely
definitely.
Done.
Well done, sir. Well done.
So we close every show with a little tagline that we like to leave our audience with some advice. We close every show by saying, stay hydrated, listen to good music, and don't be a dick. Does anybody want to close us out with that?
Stay hydrated, listen to good music, don't be a dick.
Beautiful. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
It was on the road to Dublin that I met a pretty girl. She looked so good that it was quite disarming. I stopped and I asked her if she wanted to go home or if she had to stay out till the morning. And she said, right, all right, sure, we'll get along tonight and we'll think about each other in the morning. Is there a way? No way, I can take you in today and you'll have to think about me when you're yawning. She took to me quite lovingly and she had much to say. I never felt the cold as it was growing. And then she turned and said to me, I think I've lost me way. And suddenly I knew me heart was glowing. And she said, right, all right, sure, we'll get along tonight and we'll think about each other in the morning. Is there a way? No way, I can take you in today and you'll have to think about me when you're yawning. We came upon a crossroads and she asked me to get down and we danced a merry jig among the hawthorn. I never felt her hand as she removed me wallet brown and we danced some reels and jigs until the dawning. And she said, right, all right, sure, we'll get along tonight and we'll think about each other in the morning. Is there a way? No way, I can take you in today and you'll have to think about me when you're yawning. Said right, all right, sure, we'll get along tonight and we'll think about each other in the morning. Is there a way? No way, I can take you in today and you'll have to think about me when you're yawning. Now that my story has come to an end, she upped and she left me without warning. So here I am today without a penny to my name and I wish I never met her in the morning. And she said, right, all right, sure, we'll get along tonight and we'll think about each other in the morning. Is there a way? No way, I can take you in today, so you'll have to think about me when you're yawning. And she said, right, all right, sure, we'll get along tonight and we'll think about each other in the morning. Is there a way? No way, I can take you in today, so you'll have to think about me when you're yawning.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.